Woo! We're going to have a rough one today, aren't we? All right. Good to see you guys' faces. We got some people that are sick, including my wife this morning, so let's keep them in our prayers. And, yeah, hopefully we can get back next week and flood this place. Hey, by the way, next week is that class for Plugged In. It's the membership class, so if that's something that you're wanting to do, it starts in the morning. We're going to meet in one of these rooms right over here early in the morning. I think I've got, does it say a time in there? Is it 9:15, 9:30? I think it's 9:30. 9:30, we're going to meet over there for 3 Sundays in a row and kind of walk through the process of what it looks like to be a member at Authentic Life. And, you know, plenty of time to ask questions and just to really get to know us if you're ready to dive in for that. Even if you're saying, you know what, I might not be ready to be, you know, take that step and be a member, it's a great way to get to know who we are. So if you want to do that, fill out that little card that's in your bulletin, drop it in your basket when it comes by, and I'll get a hold of you guys and let you know what's going on. But just know it's next week at 9:30. I'll bring some extra copies of the book just in case we have some people show up that don't let me know. So we've been walking through the series in the book of Acts, and it's advancing the gospel. And this morning, if you got your Bibles, if you don't, there's some at the end of the row. But we're going to be looking at Acts 11 today. We're going to be looking at our text out of Acts 11. We're going to introduce really a New Testament church plant in a city called Antioch, in a place called Antioch. And as we look through, as we walk through the book of Acts, we're looking at the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? We're seeing the gospel advance throughout, really in Jerusalem and throughout the world. And Jesus commanded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we are to be, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to be His what, church? His, you guys remember? His witnesses, right? We're being His witnesses. He tells us, He tells His disciples there, He says, be My witnesses in Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and then, He doesn't leave any part out, to the remotest parts of the earth. Here, what we like to say, and it's not anything I created, but something we like to say here at Authentic Life is, man, be My witnesses here, there, and everywhere. Amen, church? So we see this happening. The gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ is being spread, first in Jerusalem, and then even amongst the persecution, we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to recap a little bit about that, but even amongst the persecution of the church is growing, right? The gospel is spreading, and we see the words of Jesus remain true. And for sometimes it's hard to really comprehend what's happening, but we can look over in the Middle East, we can look in China, and we can see the persecution of the church and what's happening. Those two areas, it's growing faster than anywhere else in the world. In the areas that they're being persecuted, the places that the government and other religions and other people are saying, man, we're going to hold you down. Jesus says, I don't think so, right? And it's expanding. Jesus says that He is going to build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we're on the winning team. Amen, church? Man, we know that. We're on the winning team. We saw we've seen the apostles persecuted, the church as a whole persecuted. But in Acts chapter 7, something changed. Something happened differently. It wasn't just threats, it wasn't just name-calling, it wasn't just beatings and putting in jail. In Acts chapter 7, we see a man named Stephen that was actually stoned. He was killed for the sake of the gospel. The good news and truth of Jesus was a message that this man was willing to carry and die for. And when you look at that word, the word of witness, be my witnesses, it actually comes from the word martyr. It's a message that you're willing to die for. And after his death into Acts chapter 8, the Bible says that on that day when Stephen was stoned to death, on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. So we actually see the advancement of the gospel and the words of Jesus to be His witnesses take place. It's spreading because of the persecution, right? Jesus says, man, start here in Jerusalem and then go to Judea and Samaria. And because of the persecution, the church spreads to where? Judea and Samaria, right? I mean, we're getting to see it happen. You guys can participate today, all right? We're good, okay? All right, so we're getting to see that happen because of the persecution. Check this out. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says this. Therefore, because of the persecution, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Yeah, say that with me. They went about what? Preaching the word. And when we get to chapter 11 and verse 19, we will see Luke write about some of these believers that were scattered. So we know they were scattered, they were preaching the word, and some of them wind up in Antioch. If you guys would do me a favor, if you guys got your Bible, stand with me this morning, and I'm going to read. If you guys would just honor God's word, and we're going to read the Bible together this morning. Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. They're talking to those that they're comfortable with. They're talking to the Jews first. But then in verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. We'll learn just a little bit about Barnabas here in a little bit. Verse 23, then when Barnabas witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with all resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Verse 25, and he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now at the time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and began to indicate by the Holy Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that we can hold it in our hands, that we can visually see it. Let us never take that for granted, God. And we pray, Lord, that we would hear you today. Be with us. Speak to us, God. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. All right. Antioch at this point, just a little bit geographic. Antioch at this point is the third largest city. You've got Rome, you've got Alexandria, and then you've got Antioch. And they're a church about 800... A church. That would be a big church. They're a city of 800,000 people, give or take. It was a city that's known for its commerce. And it became the principal trade center of the East in that time. It was known as a great political city. Not necessarily a good one, right? But it was like big. It was massive. It was a solid political city. But it was also known for being morally corrupt. There's just a lot of immorality. We can think about cities. We can think about countries that you just know they're immoral, right? They were known for their immorality. All in the name of certain pagan religions. They had a lot of bad stuff going on, and most of it was done in the name of these false religions. This might not be a place where you would think these believers would go. Right? They're being scattered. They're scattering because they're persecuted. They're being threatened to be thrown in prison, to be beaten, to be jailed. I said that, prison and jail, the same thing, right? Okay, and to death. They're threatened in many ways, and they scatter. Now, one of the things we might think about is, man, let's go to a safe place. Let's go to a place where there's more believers, or let's go to a place where people won't know we're Christians. But that's not what they do. They go to this place of Antioch. They go to a very large city of Antioch. They make their way there. And what they do is they began, as they flee in persecution, they began to preach of Jesus. They didn't skip any beats. They didn't hide under any rocks. They didn't take any time off. They're scattering. They land in Antioch and they start preaching of Jesus. So we see these believers from Jerusalem, verse 19 says they made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and then Antioch. And it says, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. So at this point, those that were scattered began sharing the gospel, and first to the Jews. And we can kind of understand that a bit, right? It's kind of like, these are our people, we're comfortable with them, we know that Jesus came for the Jews, that type of thing. So they came to the Jews first, and then in verse 20. But there were some of them, it doesn't even give a name, it just said there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, what does it say, church? Preaching the Lord Jesus. That's just amazing when we look at that. Sometimes when we start sharing Jesus with somebody or talking about spiritual stuff or Christianity or whatever, we talk about everything but Jesus. No, sometimes we can do that. But they're talking. That's all they're doing is preaching the Lord Jesus. And this morning, I want us to see this church at Antioch, and I want us to see some of the characteristics and then kind of think, okay, what does this mean for us at Authentic Life? And you guys on your notes, if you guys could do me a huge favor and take some notes this morning, there's some things that I just kind of want us to get. The first characteristic that I want to see is that this church in Antioch, this characteristic of Antioch is this, is they were a church born in the context of mission. We're going to explain that they were a church born in the context of mission. This church was established, it was planted because men and women, families left their homes in Jerusalem, left all they knew. And a lot of these guys came to Antioch and they began sharing Jesus with Jews and also the Greeks. They remember this command of Jesus to be his what? His witnesses. Let's try that again. To be his... Alright, that's a good word to say, guys. It's a good word to remember. So they knew the commands of Jesus to be his witnesses. And here's the cool thing. They knew that Jesus said that. And then here's this. They saw the power of Jesus. Are you guys with me? I mean, it wasn't like you just have a bunch of people walking around saying, hey, this Jesus guy is cool and you should believe in him. They saw the power of Jesus and what he was doing. Thousands upon thousands came to know Christ through the preaching of his word and preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they were, and then they were persecuted and it caused them to scatter. Back in chapter 8, those that were scattered went about preaching the word. Just because they stopped doesn't mean they were scattered doesn't mean they stopped. They were preaching the word. And they make their way here to Antioch. They make their way to this city and immediately began telling people the good news of Jesus Christ. They were on mission. They were a missional church. They were a church born in the context of mission. And here in Antioch, you see many that come to know Christ. Many were saved. And then we talk about this guy Barnabas. We talked about him back in Acts chapter 4. But he's a leader. He's a guy that people look to. He's a faithful guy. He's a godly man, full of the Holy Spirit. He was a man that would be trusted. These Christians, they weren't Christians quite yet, but they were Christians, but they weren't called that yet. So these believers, they would have trusted him. The name Barnabas means son of encouragement. So it makes sense that they're going to send this man. He was trustworthy, and he's going to come and help and encourage them and teach them. So Barnabas comes, and then what the Bible say? Even more come to know Christ. Even more come to know Christ. Their purpose, church, was Jesus. I want you guys to get that with me this morning. Their purpose was Jesus. This church was born, it was planted, it was started to be on mission. Too many times we see churches get off of mission, don't we? Man, we don't want to be that church. We want to be on mission. We were born in the context of mission. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but they were born to be missional. And as we walk through this picture given to us of the church of Antioch, these characteristics, just kind of walk through and see, what does this, think about this as we're walking through this. What does this look like for Authentic Life? What do we do with this? So our first characteristic of Antioch, the church of Antioch, is they were a church that was born in the context of mission. They faithfully preached the gospel. They faithfully preached who, church? Jesus, right? They preached Jesus. And many came to know Christ. Isn't that weird? You preach about Jesus and people come to know Christ. Isn't that weird how that happens? Right? And they were saved. Many lives were forever transformed because men and women gave up much of their lives. I mean, think about it. It wasn't like they were just like, these people decided not to hide in Jerusalem and kind of bunker down and pretend like they were like everybody else. They say, we're going to get out of here, we're going to scatter, and we're going to go share about Jesus. They sacrificed. They brought those that were dead in their sins, the good news of Jesus Christ. What a way to start a church. Amen? Church, amen? What a way to start a church to say, you know what? We're going out here, church, we're going out to Tucson, and we're going to preach Jesus. That's what we're going to do. Forget all the other distractions. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be on mission for Jesus. The second characteristic we see here in the church of Antioch is this. Is we see that they are people, there were people of the church that were radically identified with Christ. This is big, church. People of this church were radically identified with Christ. Don't miss what we see here in verse 26. The last part of this verse says this. It says, the disciples are like you and I. They're followers of Christ. They are people that have said, you know what? I'm a student of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I am a disciple. So the disciples were first called what, church? They were called Christians in Antioch. Let's not miss this. These people that were scattered because they were believers in Jesus, they make their way here to Antioch. And then you've got these other ones that get saved while they're there because they're preaching Jesus, right? And then you've got more that come to know Christ. And they're living such distinct lives. Think about that. This hit me hard this week. Is my life distinct? Not am I better than anybody else, right? Is my life distinct as a Christ follower? They were not living like these other pagan religions. They weren't even living like the Jews. And some of these religions were protected. Now you got these Christians that had no protection. So really, when they're being called this, it's bringing on more persecution. The name Christian didn't come from within the community of believers. Those that followed Christ didn't like get together with their Starbucks coffee, right? And get together and just say, hey man, we gotta have a name for ourselves. Right? We gotta get together and we gotta call ourselves something. What do you think? Let's just call ourselves, what do you think, Dan? Christians? Is that a good one? Right? That's not what happened. They didn't do that. The name was given to them by unbelievers. Those that didn't follow Christ out of the city of Antioch. And here's the crazy thing. It was meant to be derogatory. Right? It was meant to be derogatory. They called them to actually set them apart, to bring them shame, to bring on even more persecution, to kind of identify the weirdos, right? A little bit, right? And so to be called a Christian, here's what it means to be called a Christian. It actually means to be of the party of Christ, to be a follower of Christ, to be a Christ follower. And this is a great picture that we see here, this new church, this new church plant, that they were born in the context of mission. Those that were sharing the good news and preaching Jesus were now giving this title Christian. This is it. This is their title. They got Christian now. How about that, church? These individuals were seen and they were watched. I want to help you out with something. The world that doesn't know Christ is watching you. Amen? Right? Sometimes we don't want them to. Right? But they're watching you. And these individuals, they're coming in, right? They were scattered out, they're coming in, and they were being watched. And they were identified as having been with Christ. That they lived their lives that gave such evidence that they were followers of this man named Jesus. I'm telling you what, man, tears in my eyes when I'm studying this. Because it was like, Jesus, do people see you in me? Right? Do people see you in me? And what was meant to be a belittling, slanderous, and insulting term was one that these men and women, like, they just gladly, they wore it well, right? I mean, they're like, all right, bring it on. You know, tattoo it on me. Like, call me a Christian, right? And I'm just kidding. All right, kids, you got to ask your parents. I don't know. Probably shouldn't go down the road of tattoos. I don't know. But anyway, so don't do that. All right, so anyways, so they were, how do I get back on track after that one, Levi? I don't know, man. So, but they to be a Christian meant they were a child of God. I'm okay. I mean, I'm not hating on tattoos. I just want everybody to know that, right? Okay. All right. So, I just went to, come on, man, help me out, brother. I'm just deep in this one already. So, all right. Yeah, I know, man. So, all right. So, what was meant to be belittling and slanderous and insulting, they wore it. They gladly took that name on. To be a Christian really identified them as a child of God. Think about that. What an honor to be an image bearer for Jesus. To live a life that everyone knew they were followers of Christ. No one here, it doesn't say that we're pompous or that we're better than or high and mighty and all that other stuff. You know, what's the words they use? Holier than thou and all this. It doesn't say that. It just said they represented Christ. It was meant to be insulting to those that were saved by Christ, to those that identified with Christ. It would have been an honor to be called a Christian. Think about that. And today, that word Christian is just kind of thrown around. Oh yeah, I believe there's a guy named Jesus. I'm not really sure where I feel about the whole thing, but there's a dude there. I'm an American. So yeah, just go ahead and call me Christian. Right? I mean, you guys with me? But at that point, this is a big deal. This is looking at him and saying, Levi, you are acting like Jesus. You're one of those Christians, aren't you? That was a big deal, church. Are you guys with me on that? Man, we just kind of throw it out there, but it's a big deal. It's an honor to be called a Christian. So from the beginning, the church at Antioch was born in the context of mission. And they, from the beginning, they were radically identified with the person of Christ. And they were called Christians. The third characteristic that is pictured here in Antioch is they cared for other local churches sacrificially. From the beginning, they cared for other local churches sacrificially. Look at verses 27 through 30. Check this out with me. Now at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Holy Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. The Lord allowed this man, Agabus, to know there was going to be a great famine coming. And this isn't just something that the Bible came up with. It's like, oh, let's just throw some kind of problem in there. No, no, no. This is a well-documented famine that happened. So his job was to bring this news and tell these Christians and kind of warn them there's a famine coming. And as we're going to see coming up, that the Christians, the church in Judea, that man, they were hit hard and needed help. And in verse 29, and in the proportion that any of the disciples, any of these Christians had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren in living in Judea. And this they did, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. So they're being good stewards of that, sending it with those they trust, and then giving it to the elders of the church. These Christians were continuing what was started back in Acts chapter 2. And then we saw in Acts chapter 4, they gave so that others in their community were not in need. You guys following me? And that's what we see here. We see an authentic care for other local churches. An authentic care for other local churches. It's a characteristic that's carried over and it's found in other churches as well. Think about this. You guys can look these up, but the church of Corinth, the churches of Galatia and Macedonia and Achaia and others throughout the Bible, they give sacrificially. Not just in Antioch, but they give sacrificially to other local bodies of Christ. Now here's a subpoint to this one. You guys have heard me say this before and I've heard you guys say this. They were kingdom minded. They were kingdom-minded. That's your sub-point for them. And they were kingdom-minded. They realized the importance of healthy churches. Not just in Antioch, but throughout the world. So they gave sacrificially, and they cared for those in Judea. What a great characteristic for us to think about, to be mindful of others, of their local churches throughout the world, so they too can be effective in sharing and advancing the good news of Jesus Christ. This is a kingdom-minded church. I grew up in Kansas City. There's more churches in Kansas City than there is here. Okay, but what ended up happening is you'd go to this church. It even happened in denominations, right? You would go to this church and they wouldn't help one another. It was just kind of like it was a big ploy. It's like instead of reaching new people for Jesus, they're like stealing from other churches. It became a competition. We see that throughout the United States. There's plenty of lost people for us to fight for. Amen? They were kingdom-minded. They say, man, it doesn't matter if it's in Judea. It doesn't matter if it's in Tucson. It doesn't matter if it's in Kansas City. I don't think they knew about those places back then. But you know, I mean, it's like, it doesn't matter. They were kingdom-minded. They said, you know what? We want to advance the gospel, not just here, but there. And there, God has placed them there. Let's help them. Are you guys with me on that one? All right. The fourth characteristic we see painted here at the church in Antioch is this. They advanced the gospel through multiplication. They advanced the gospel through multiplication. We already seen this in one way. You know, earlier we saw they were sharing Jesus and teaching them. They were teaching the new Christians. They brought Paul in and Paul was instructing them and teaching them for a year how to follow Christ. So they did it where they were, right in their church. We need to do that. Amen. Right? We share the gospel. Jesus saves them. We help them grow up. We multiply. But then they did it through all the nations. And we're going to take a real quick look, at this, because we're going to spend more time in another series looking at the missionary journeys. But I want us to get a quick picture of what we see here at Antioch. that they are advancing the gospel through multiplication. Jesus tells Christians, he tells those that follow him in Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all of Tucson, right? No. Of all the United States, or all, no, he says of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded. And this church took this seriously, like being that they were a church that was founded in mission, right? And a church, and there were people that identified with Christ. You identify with Christ, man, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You carry his message. That's all you want to talk about. It was natural for them to do this. So I think it's up on the screen, but chapter 13, we're just going to look ahead just for a little bit. Now there, we're at Antioch. Where are they at? Where are they at, guys? Antioch, right? So at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who were called Niger, and Lucius, a Cyrene, and Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, notice the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. When the church laid hands on these men, they were affirming them. Anybody ever been to a ordination service, right? You know, or like for deacons or for pastors or for missionaries, right? And you get some, usually it's like other pastors or other ordained people or other men or women in the church, and they come and they lay their hands on them. And that's some kind of power or anything like that, right? They're praying over them and they're kind of commissioning them, right? They're saying, hey, we're going to send you out. Get out of here, quick, you know? No, I'm just kidding. But you know, so what they're doing is they're affirming their calling that God has on their life. And they're showing their support for them, symbolizing that they were sending them out to do the work of the Lord, sending them out to multiply. You guys with me? So when you guys see that, it's not some kind of mystical thing going on here, like, you know, it's just they're laying hands on them, they're just kind of affirming them and just saying, hey, man, we're supporting you. Go do what God's called you to do. Verse 4. In chapter 13. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Verse 5, when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God. Now to chapter 14, verse 24. They passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, I think, and from there they sailed to Antioch. And then later in chapter 15, those that were sent out by the church in Antioch, they made their way back to Antioch and began to give a report of what God was doing in these other cities. Here's the cool thing. We've been around what? You know, coming up from we started in our home August 31st of 2014. So almost 2 years ago, right? And there are churches that have been supporting us and helping us get going, right, to share the gospel. And, you know, so what we do is we give them word and we say, hey, this is what's happening in Tucson. This is what you guys are supporting. Are you guys with me on that? That's what they're doing. They're coming back and they're passing that on to them. And as we continue to walk through the book of Acts, as we'll do later, we'll see more and more of how the gospel is reaching the nations. We're going to look at the missionary journeys of Paul. He's got three of them, right? Of Paul and how he goes and, right, Saul to Paul. Isn't it amazing? God just saved this murderous man that was killing believers in Jesus Christ. And now he's being sent out to start other churches. Amen, guys? Man, God is big, right, church? Yeah. All right. Right, church? God is good, man. And we're going to continue to watch to see that happen. And what we see at Antioch is not reluctancy. It's a willingness. Church, hear this, right? A willingness to multiply. A willingness to multiply. They were planting churches in these cities that Barnabas and Paul went to. They were in the work of multiplying what God was doing in Antioch and in their lives. They didn't want it just for themselves. Let's say, let's go out. Let's do it. And I'm sure it would have helped them to hang on to these leaders. Right? I mean, think about it. It would have benefited them, but the Lord called them, and the Lord calls them away. He's going to take care of that church. Amen? All right. So, and they're willingly and graciously sending them out to multiply what God was doing there in Antioch. So you have people getting saved, and then you say, man, you guys are doing a good work. God is with you. Let's go. Take some of your leaders. Let's go and do this in other places. And this next characteristic kind of piggybacks the last one. The fifth one that we see here in the church of Antioch is, is this, is that they were dependent on the Holy Spirit. Church, hear my heart on this one. Do not check out here. You guys with me? Don't check out on these last two here. They were dependent on the Holy Spirit. Again, looking ahead to other chapters, we're gonna see this. I want to look at this one really quick. Chapter 13, verse 2. While they, the church at Antioch, were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, we've got to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, amen, church? Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then they fasted and they prayed about it, they laid their hands, they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, we get to be a part of that, right? We get to be a part of that, but they're being sent out by the Holy Spirit. And I really wish I could spend a little bit more time on this, but as we continue to walk through this book of Acts, we're going to see the Holy Spirit orchestrate the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've already seen Him do it with the death of Stephen, right? And they advance. Jesus says, go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then in Judea and Samaria. The Holy Spirit helped do that. Why? Because He's orchestrating this whole thing. He's going to lead. He's going to give direction. And the church of Antioch, they trusted the Holy Spirit. Here's a question for you, man. Do you trust, or woman, right? Do you trust the Holy Spirit? And we will see, because of their dependence, others will be sent out. Others are going to come to know Jesus Christ. Churches are going to be planted, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be advanced to the ends of the earth. Why? Because they were dependent on the Holy Spirit. They were a church that depended on the Holy Spirit for every move they made. Check this out. Notice they were in prayer and fasting. I need you guys to hear my heart as your pastor this morning. Let's pray for our church that we're doing what God is calling us to do. Amen, church? Don't check out on that one. We don't get to do that. We don't get to check out on prayer. Are you guys with me? We don't get to do that. They were seeking Him. They were dependent on Him. Man, it was like the never-failing GPS. It never has to be updated. You never have to ask Siri anything. It's like the Spirit, He just leads you. Whew, it's hot up here. Church, hear my heart. Man, we've got to trust the Holy Spirit that He's going to lead us in this church. We don't need to be taking steps until we pray about it. As a church, man, I pray for this church, others, and you guys, we pray for our church, but when we have those opportunities corporately to do that, church, hear my heart, man. Let's be here. Let's do that. Are you guys with me? They were seeking Him. They were seeking the Holy Spirit because they were dependent on Him. And the last characteristic that I want to show is one that is key in having all these other characteristics. It's this. They were committed to remain faithful to Christ. They were committed to remain faithful to Christ. Look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Man, we want the hand of the Lord to be with us. Amen, church? And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. The work they were doing, their obedience to share Jesus, the proof that God was blessing them caught the attention of these other Christians. And I want to give you guys like a big fist bump, right? We got a phone call or a text, phone call, email, I don't remember what it was. But I got connected this week by somebody that's in the state convention for the Arizona Baptist that just said, hey man, your church is doing some good stuff. I just want to affirm that. We see what God is doing through your church, and we just want to say, man, keep it up. So I'm going to pass that on to you guys from some godly men. They're just saying, man, keep it up. Are you guys with me? Keep it up. God is, people are noticing, but that's not why we do it. Amen? Right? We do it for the Lord Jesus, and that's what they're noticing. And so it reaches the ears of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. This idea of with resolute heart, does your translations maybe say purpose in your heart? Some of you guys say that. It means to have the deepest commitment to something. All right? Barnabas was challenging them to continue. Notice that word continue, right? He wants them to keep doing what they're doing. He's challenging them to continue to be committed, to stand firm, to be grounded. Committed to what? To remain true to the Lord. He was saying, be a church that is committed. Man, we're after it. We're solid. We're going to keep going. We're going to be committed to being faithful to Jeff. No. To Dan. No. To Steve. No. To Jesus. Amen, church? They were being challenged to be, continue to be committed, to stand firm, to be faithful to the Lord. The ideal of this idea to remain true is this, to abide in Him. To cleave to Him. To continue in Him. And really, he's kind of giving this idea, others around you, are they going to persecute you? They're going to challenge you. They're going to challenge your faith. They're going to call you names like Christians, right? They're going to try to sway you. But he is saying, you're where God wants you. How do we know that? Because he's saying, continue in it. You're where God wants you. Remain faithful to Him. Let me share a verse here real quick. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I, not me, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what, church? You can do, man, I want to hear that again. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We cannot survive. We cannot live for Christ apart from Christ. It's not about Authentic Life Church. It's not about Pastor Jeff or our worship team or our great kids life program. Those are all great, by the way. Fantastic. Well, probably not me. But you know, they're all fantastic. But it's about Jesus. Amen, church? It's about Jesus. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. So Barnabas is saying, stay after it, church. Don't Lone Ranger it. Don't Lone Ranger it, ministry leader. Don't go at it alone, kids life leader, welcome team leader, Pastor Jeff, Levi, right? Worship team, parents. Don't Lone Ranger it. Don't ignore Christ. Don't be swayed. How about this one? Don't get too comfortable. Right? Don't get too comfortable. Remain strong. Remain true. Remain faithful to Jesus. Let your faithfulness to Jesus drive you. Be committed to remain faithful to Christ, church. Our church this morning, right? That's our prayer. Let's remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Today at Authentic Life Church, there's some challenges for us to take from this text this morning. I look at these characteristics from Antioch. And I remember back to our church before this church was even here. Let me tell you something, church. God was already at work. Amen? And he had proved that he was at work before we ever knew it. Man, I've gotten here and I've spoken with people that have been praying for this area for 50 years. 50 years, church. And God has allowed us to come and be here to be His witnesses, to share the gospel with this lost and broken city. Amen, church? Alright, so I don't even know where I'm at anymore. But God was at work and He's proved that He's been at work all along. Yeah, guys, I got ADD. Just bear with me, alright? So He was at work in the details of authentic life before authentic life existed. And guess what? He's still at work in the details of authentic life. We can't forget that. I remember my first trip and my second trip and my third trip and my fourth trip coming down here, and I remember walking and praying, and I remember driving around, and I remember standing up on a mountain and overlooking a city that was full of people that Jesus loved. Right? A city full of people that Jesus died for. I saw a city that God was calling, you know, our family to, and you guys to start a church. And I want you guys to hear me. Not so we could be the new, cool, sexy church. Are you guys with me? That's not why God called us here. Not so that we could have the best programs in the world. Those are good. Let's have good programs. Let's have a great worship time. Let's have a great kids life. Let's have great life groups. Let's do all of those things for the glory of God. But so He called us here to start a church so that others would come to know Jesus Christ. Amen, church? And that they would go out and share Jesus Christ and multiply. The people that were scattered from Jerusalem, they left. And many of them came to Antioch and began telling Jews and Greeks right away about Jesus. Sometimes we get stuck only sharing with people that are like us. But they were a church born in the context of mission. It didn't matter what they looked like or what they smelled like. Right? or anything else. They saw a city and people that needed Jesus and needed to grow in Christ, and they went after it. Authentic Life Church, I'm going to tell you right now, church, you guys with me? It was born to be on mission. Are you guys with me? It's born to be on mission. It was planted and it began so others would know Christ. We are a church, if you look at our vision statement and also our core values, we are a church that values preaching of Jesus and His gospel. And if I ever get away from that, y'all kick me in the butt real quick. Are you guys with me on that one? Man, we need to be a church that values preaching Jesus and His gospel. The first part of our vision statement is that we exist to connect people to who? To Jesus. It's great that we wear t-shirts, right? I like the bright orange. I know everybody else hates them, but the bright orange t-shirts that is like, don't run over me. But it gets attention. But it's not about that. It's about connecting people to Jesus. And looking at our core values, we want to be a gospel-centered, a gospel-focused church that shares Christ with those around us. We get to see here in the church of Antioch. And then we were planted to be missional. And by God's grace, we will remain on mission and grow in that area, right? We need to grow in that area, right? Amen, church? We can always grow in that area. We need to grow in the area of being on mission of connecting people to Jesus. And what a great model we have here in Acts, in the church of Antioch. I have a friend that says this statement all the time. He says, the church is a movement. It's not a museum or a monument. It's a movement. It's not about the fancy things we don't have, right? Or it's not about, you know, how cool we are or what, you know, what we've done and just chilling out now and sitting on our tushies and getting comfortable and happy. Man, it keeps moving. Amen? Man, we stop moving. Why would we continue to meet? Right? We keep moving. I just love that. It's a movement. It's not a museum or a monument. It's a movement. There are still people to reach and more to do for the advancement of the gospel. Until Jesus quits making people, we still got work to do. Amen? Right? In Antioch, we saw people that were radically identified with Christ. They were first called Christians at Antioch. What a great title, man. How about that? Great. Because they live their lives. Their lives were proof that they followed Him. They were different. We try so hard to be like everybody else. And there's nothing wrong with that. I like to wear nice clothes and I like to, you know, to get a good haircut. I liked all those things, right? But they were different. They were different. May it be said of people here at Authentic Life Church in Tucson, Arizona, that there is something different. There's something distinct in their lives. Their life looks like Jesus. Let others say, man, those are Christians, right? Those are Christ followers. There are people that are lost and hurt in this area and throughout the world, and they're just seeking answers. They're seeking for something real and authentic. In our vision statement, it says this, right? We connect people to Jesus, and then skip into the last part. It says we exist to live authentically for Him. Let us live a life that is truly, genuinely, and authentically identified with Christ. We don't just follow Christ here at church, but we do it in our communities. We do it at home, dads and moms. Jeff, right? We do it in our communities. We do it with the people that we don't like. We do it with the people that smell. We do it with the people that have drinking problems. I know y'all looking at me. You're like, you smell, Jeff. We like you. We do it with people that are in prison. We live our lives authentically for Jesus Christ. Gosh, guys, let's not be the Sunday Christians. Amen. Well, we want to be Sunday Christians. Don't get me wrong. But let's be Christians Monday through Sunday, right? Sunday through Saturday, whatever. As was the church at Antioch, let us be a church that is a kingdom-minded church. Let us be a church that cares for local churches throughout the world. Praying for one another, supporting one another and in any way that we can. The Lord has placed us right here in Tucson just as He's placed others that are sharing the gospel throughout the world. God, help our church be kingdom-minded. God, help us advance the gospel of Jesus Christ through multiplication. Help us tell people about Jesus and not abandon them, but help them grow up in their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Man, we got a big responsibility right there. One of our core values, and then also to multiply to church plant and what else, but one of our core values here at the church is that we reproduce. We multiply. We want to multiply. We want to see others come to know Christ. We want to see others come to grow in their knowledge of Christ. Discipleship. You guys ever hear that word? Discipleship. We got some work to do there. Right? We got some work to do. And I'm telling you, man, if God is working, I don't know, this is a free moment here, guys. All right. You got to be growing in your faith. All right? I got to be growing in my faith so that we can grab a hold of other new believers and young people and help them grow in their faith. Amen? Men, are you guys with me? Men, man, it's time to get off the bench. Ladies too, but I'm going to speak to the men real quick. Stop being pansies about Jesus. Amen? Let's man up. God has called us to lead our families. Let's do it. You guys with me? Jeff, Pastor Jeff, I'm speaking to you too. Let's man up. Ladies, I'm sure you guys are rocking it out, but keep up, right? Be at it. We're always going to have work to do in the area of discipleship. We also want to multiply through church planting and missions throughout the world. And I can't share everything yet, but we're already in the works with another church plant. I just want to get you guys excited about that. We've been praying about this area for a long time, and God's doing some cool things. And once things are solidified, I'll share all that with you. But just be praying about that. I'm pumped about it. Whew. God's good, right, Levi? Man, he is, man, and we get to be a part of that. He initiates, we participate. The last characteristic is that we must be a church that people are dependent on the Holy Spirit. We must be, did I say the last one? This is the next one. You got one more. We got to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, church. Dependent on the Holy Spirit. We've got to be attentive to His leading. We seek Him in prayer. We're dependent on Him. In chapter 11, verse 20, they were preaching the Lord, and they were preaching of the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number of the people who believed turned to the Lord. Barnabas comes, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Let it be said of Authentic Life Church that we are committed to remain faithful to Christ. Amen, church? Say that with me. Let us be committed to remain faithful to Christ. That was halfway okay. Let us be committed to remain faithful to Christ. Paul writes in Colossians 1 verse 23, continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Authentic life is ultimately about the gospel and Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not about anything else. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our primary concern is Christ. He is our audience. When we're standing up here, man, sing. Sing because Jesus deserves it. Amen? Church, come on now. I don't care if you sing like a howling cat. Man, sing because Jesus deserves it and you're practicing for Jesus. What does this howling cat sound like? I don't know. Guys, Jesus is our audience. We do what we do for Him. He alone is why we minister to the lost. He alone is why we minister to the hurting and the poor. He alone is why we preach and we teach and we love on the kiddos and have coffee and greeters and all these other life group things. He's the reason we gather, church. If we forget that, we're done. Are you guys with me? If we forget that, we're done. Our purpose is Jesus. It's to bring glory to Christ. It's to worship Him. It's to bless Him. And what a privilege it is. Amen, church? To be able to say, everything I do is for Your glory. Our vision statement, we exist to connect people to Jesus, to grow together and live our lives authentically for Him. We get to connect people with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the Master over all things, the name above all names. Amen, church? That should fire us up. I had an old pastor that said this, if that doesn't fire you up, your wood's wet. Write that one down. That's a good one. If that doesn't fire you up, church, your wood is wet. We exist to grow in our relationship with Christ, for discipleship, so that we can look more and more like Him, so that we can be who He has called us to be. So we can be the parents and the grandparents and the employees and the students and the people that He's called us to be, so we can mature in our faith and be used by God to multiply. We exist as a church to live for Jesus, to live our lives for Jesus Christ. Last thing. Blank check. We talked about this from the get-go. With this series, we want to be able to say, Jesus, I trust You with my blank check. Here it is. Here's my complete surrender to you. Jesus, you fill it out however you seem fit. Because you're worthy. First Corinthians 15:58 says this, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Church, hear my heart. We've got to continue to be faithful, to be immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that it's not done in vain. Let us be a church that is committed to being faithful to Jesus. Let us abide in Him, cleave to Him, continue in Him. Others around you are going to persecute you. They're going to challenge you. And you never know. The culture, the political culture of our country is changing. You never know what that persecution is going to look like. And there's going to be trying to sway us, but we will remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Amen, church? We do all we do for Jesus. Let's not forget that. Let's pray. God, we love you. Be with us, Father, as we seek you and we do what we can to remain committed and faithful to Jesus Christ. Lord, if we lose sight of Jesus and why we do what we do, we're done. Give us passion, Father. Give us excitement. Lord, help our wood not be wet so we can be on fire for you, Father. What a great God you are. And you are the head of this church. You are the one leading Authentic Life Church, Father. Jesus. Help us continue to be a church. I'm talking, yes, individually, but corporately as this body, God. Help us be a church that is on mission for you. Help us trust you. Help us remain faithful. Help us be dependent on the Holy Spirit, God. And help others see our lives and say, man, those are Christians. They're different. God, instead of doing a time of response or anything, God, I just want to pray for our church. Help us do all we do for your glory, God. The men and the women and the children and God, all of us. Whether we're 1 year old or 100 years old, God, let's do what we can to bring you glory. To seek you. God, help us be in prayer for what you want to do at Authentic Life Church. Help us be committed to you so that, God, that we can connect people to Jesus, grow together, and live lives that are genuinely following you, Jesus. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and everybody that agreed said, Amen.